Right, you've probably seen many things like these messages. These are just two taken from the big notice boards outside American churches, giving a message. Sometimes they're humorous. The one over there attempts to be a little bit humorous. Daylight savings changes times. Jesus changes life. Do not change God's message. Let his message change you. And it's change and transformation that I want to speak about today. And that change coming through the power of God, his word, his son, and his Holy Spirit. So last week, we looked at living under God's favor. And we took as our jumping off point that scripture in Acts where Stephen stood up boldly in front of the church leaders, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, and spoke of Abraham and Moses and Aaron, and ended up being stoned to death. And in essence, last week was all about focusing on the promises and how those promises emanate from God, or the Godhead, and their impact on us. This week I want to take it a bit further. I'm still in that bit of Acts. So Stephen's been stoned, and Saul was one of the characters there, looking on, egging the others on, minding the coats, etc. And we're going to go through a couple of slides of me just reminding us of this narrative. So if you want to close your eyes and let the words wash over you, you can do that, or you can follow them on the screen. But I do want us to read this. Now Saul agreed to be an accomplice to Stephen's stoning and participated in his execution. From that day on, a great persecution of the church in Jerusalem began. All the believers scattered into the countryside of Judea and among the Samaritans, except the apostles who remained behind in Jerusalem. Then Saul mercilessly persecuted the church of God, going from house to house into the homes of believers to arrest both men and women and drag them off to prison. So it's gone from, you know, watching over that execution to being actively involved. Man on a mission. During those days, Saul, full of angry threats and rage, wanted to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus. So he went to the high priest and requested a letter of authorization he could take to the Jewish leaders in Damascus, requesting their cooperation in finding and arresting any who were followers of the way. Saul wanted to capture all of the believers he found, both men and women, and drag them as prisoners back to Jerusalem. Paul's really on fire now. He's going to the Jewish leaders. Give me the authority, and I'll bring these heathens back, these blasphemers back to Jerusalem, and we can punish them too. And there comes about an encounter. So he obtained the authorization and left for Damascus, just outside the city, A brilliant life, flashing from heaven, suddenly exploded all around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a booming voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The men accompanying Saul were stunned and speechless, for they heard a heavenly voice but could see no one. Saul replied, Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, the victorious, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you are to do." Saul stood to his feet, and even though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. He was blind. So men had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. For 3 days he didn't eat or drink and couldn't see a thing. Now, I've never had anything quite as scary as that, flashing lights, suddenly going blind. And but I have met people who, through mental illness, I remember when I first became a social worker that used to go out and assess people as to whether they ought to be in hospital against their will, that one of the first people I had to meet was this woman of roughly my age now, and she was sitting on the sofa, and she lived with her husband, and her husband said she's been there for a week, and she just sat there staring blankly out. She had not eaten or drunk for a week. She was so depressed, she was comatose. She hadn't. Paul is a bit like that. It must have been horrifying what he went through. This voice, these bright lights, not being able to see. It's not surprising he didn't eat or drink. He'd been shocked to the core. Fortunately, his story didn't end there. Living in Damascus was a believer named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling his name. "Ananias, yes, Lord," Ananias answered. The Lord said, "Go at once into the street called Abundance and look for a man from Tarsus named Saul. You'll find him at Judah's house." While he was praying, he saw in a supernatural vision a man. This is Saul now. While Saul was praying, he saw in a supernatural vision a man named Ananias coming to lay hands upon him to restore his sight. Ananias left and found the house where Saul was staying. He went inside and laid hands on him, saying, "Saul, my brother, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to pray for you so that you might see again and be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit." All at once, the crusty substance that was over Saul's eyes disappeared and he could see perfectly. Immediately he got up and was baptized. After eating a meal, his strength returned. Within the hour, he was in the synagogues preaching about Jesus and proclaiming, "Jesus is the Son of God." So Saul went from being this man who was going around totally, totally committed to capturing, imprisoning, even murdering Christians, anyone who believed in the Lord Jesus. He then had that encounter with Jesus. He lost his sight. And then Ananias came and laid hands on him, prayed over him as he was directed by Jesus to do. And Saul changed, was transformed. He went from this trying to condemn Christians to proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And if you read further on, you'll find that he wasn't welcomed by the Jews and he wasn't welcomed by the Christians, because, hey, this guy was only a few hours ago tracking us down and trying to kill us. But he was so transformed by the power of Christ, he could not stop but go. Within the hour, he was in the synagogues and speaking the good news. And it's that transformation that I want to speak of today. This was one of my verses for the day within the week. Because this revelation lamp now shines within you, it was shining within Paul, nothing will be hidden from you. It will all be revealed. Every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled, out in the open, made known by the revelation light. Revelation is nothing, though, if we don't act on it. God does speak into us. Every time we open the Bible, every time we gaze on his word, he will reveal something of himself, something afresh. But if we don't take that within ourselves and allow that word to do its stuff within us, to change us, if we're not yielded to that word, it won't transform us. So we can be transformed by the power of the word. And you'll be familiar with this, but I've just chosen one of the verses from this parable of Jesus. But what is sown on good soil represents those who open their hearts to receive the message, and their lives bear good fruit. And we spent a few weeks looking at the good fruit during the autumn. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100-fold. If we receive that word, God's word, it can transform us enormously. 30, 60, even 100-fold. You know. But we've got to engage with that. Anyone can read a Bible, read the words in the Bible, but we've got to allow those words to transform us. And then we'll bear that good fruit. As long as we have opened our hearts to receive the message. Don't let them be words on a page. So when our hearts are transformed, our behavior changes. You know, Saul changed his behavior. This again, you'll be familiar with this parable. Little Zacchaeus, you know, the chief tax collector amongst the tax collectors, you know, the boss of the tax collectors, a rich bloke, yearning to see Jesus, climbing that tree, and Jesus decided to have a meal with him. And this was his response. Zacchaeus was amazed over his gracious visit to his house and joyously welcomed Jesus. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all I own I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. And Jesus said to him, your repentance shows that today life has come to you and your household, and that you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek you out and give life to those who are lost. You know, that radical change of heart, transformation of Zacchaeus' heart by knowing Jesus, by being accepted by Jesus. We can also be transformed by the power of Christ's love and his compassion. So here we've got the religious leaders trying to ensnare and trick Jesus, make him trip over. And they've got... let's read it. Then they said to Jesus, "Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us what to do." No. "Tell us, what do you say we should do with her?" Angry, they kept insisting that he answer their question. So Jesus stood up and looked at them and said, "Let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her." On appearing that, her accusers slowly left the crowd, one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, with a convicted conscience. Until finally, Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of him. So he stood back and said to her, "Dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" This woman was in the wrong. And Jesus, you know, would have been very tough in those days for Jesus, for a man, not for Jesus, for a man to be alone with a woman who had done what they were claiming she had done. But Jesus loved that woman, had compassion for that woman. And so she went on a business. Restored, forgiven. So when Peter stood up in the synagogue, he said, amongst other things, he said this, "And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed." And I love this bit. "And so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence." Now that's what we shared this morning when we shared communion together. When in the quietness of our hearts we confessed our sins, we repented, we came before God, we were made whole, restored, forgiven, refreshed, because he loves us, because he has compassion. We have the power to be totally transformed. And then the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to get caught up in what the world wants. to go the way of the majority and not stand firm. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. It may not accord with the world, but a life that is beautiful to Him. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image, not the world's image, not the image that I have, but God's perfect image. Don't you want that? To be transformed into the image of God, the image He has for us, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We can be transformed by His word. We can be transformed by Christ. We can be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And it's not a one-off thing. Yes, we are made new in Christ. We are baptized and made new in Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But God is seeking to change and transform us day by day by day. And we need to be open to that. That's a question I sort of leave you with. Are we ready to walk? Moment by moment, day by day, under the Godhead's holy and powerful transformation. Are we yielding ourselves? Giving ourselves fully over to Him? Because we heard this the other week. The plans I have for you are good. Plans to prosper. We need to give ourselves over to Him. So let's be transformed by God. This was someone else's little picture I was quite taken with, their interpretation of being transformed by God. And I don't know if that will happen to you or me in that way, but I want that. And this verse, indeed Yahweh will comfort Zion, restore her. Don't we want restoration? And comfort her in all broken places. He will transform her wilderness into the garden of bliss, her desert into the garden of Yahweh. Joy and laughter will fill the air with thanksgiving and joyous melodies. And you know, as I put those images together, I'm giving you those images. They're coming round, that you can put in your Bible against the favorite verse that you have that speaks to you. So not an Andrew generated verse, but a God highlighted verse that speaks to you of transformation, that encourages you and me on that journey of transformation. so that you can keep coming back time after time, saying to God, here I am, Lord. You don't have to send the blinding light. You don't have to take my vision away and starve me for 3 days. And you don't have to send an Ananias along to transform. I'm coming to you. I'm giving myself to you. I want to act boldly for you, standing on your promises, Lord. And I want to be transformed by you, by your word, by your Son, by your Spirit, by you. And if you can find passages such as those that we've looked at today, let them encourage you and embolden you to day by day be open to the transforming power of God. And let this church be transformed. Your church, Lord, your church be transformed by your power to do your will for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.